quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. And this episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Katsi, Kwikwetlem, and Stolo First Nations. Typically Tuesdays recognizes the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. This past weekend was Vancouver Comic Arts Fest, and oh my goodness, it was packed. It was packed. I've been to FanCaf, I think, the past 2 years, 2 or 3 years, I guess, since the first one that they put on together in person, since the height of the pandemic. And I have never seen that many people at the festivities. I used to think that, you know, it gets pretty crowded at like certain times at VanCaf. You know, it's kind of awkward to move around at some points, particularly in the exhibition hall. But oh my goodness, this year I was pushed around, I was shoved, I was being nudged along into the stalls, into the festivities. Nothing horrible happened. Let me make that extremely clear. But yeah, there was a lot of people this year. It's so exciting to know this and to have experienced it, because it was a really poppin', non-stoppin' time. And I think it really goes to show how much Vancouver appreciates comics, which is always so exciting. Of course, you know, the market was awesome. Got to see a lot of really cool stuff. Got to say hi to some people who I've met over the years who might have the show at one point, or we became friends afterwards and stuff like that. But importantly, oh boy, today, my dear listener, do I have a treat for you? I have the distinct honor and privilege to be able to share with you the panel spotlight on Kaori Tsurutani. I cannot contain my excitement. Just a real quick, you know, explainer. So one of the guests this year who was invited to VanCaf, of the many distinguished guests, you know, you have Gord Hill, for example, Johnny Christmas, Freddie Carrasco was also there, as well as Jim Terry. Jocelyn Allen was there, who plays a big role in this panel that I'm going to share with you today. But one of the guests who was invited was mangaka Kaori Tsurutani. Perhaps she is best known for her work called BL Metamorphosis. Tsurutani Sensei is a distinguished award-winning mangaka. who won the, I believe it's called the Kono Manga wa Sugoi, This Manga is Awesome award a few years ago for her work, BL Metamorphosis. Just to read a little bit of her bio provided by Van Kaff. Born in 1982 in Toyama Prefecture, Kaori Tsuratani made her manga debut in 2007 after winning silver in the 52nd Tetsuya Chiba Awards for her story Okina Daidokoro, Big Kitchen. She went on to receive the New Face Award in the 22nd Japan Media Arts Festival Manga Division for her series BL Metamorphosis, which was adapted into a live-action film in 2022. She is also the author of Don't Like This and has contributed to stories to such manga anthologies as Iro no Watashi ga Honto no Watashi, All of These Me's Are the Real Me, and BL First Crush Anthology, 5 Seconds Before We Fall in Love. She currently lives in Tokyo, and she was here in Vancouver this past weekend. The panel discusses her work, focusing on Don't Like This, and also, of course, BL Metamorphosis. If you listened to last week's show, you know that I did a big plug for the JFT, Japan Foundation, Toronto, and Van Kaff crossover collab screening of the BL Metamorphosis film, which, by the way, is incredible. If you did not get to catch it, be jealous of the people who did, because it was really good. But furthermore, it was just a really wonderful panel in which we got to learn about Tsuratani Sensei's conception of BL Metamorphosis, the common themes that arise in some of her work, and her experience supporting the adaptation of BL Metamorphosis, the film. And, you know, maybe there is a cameo from your local Typically Tuesdays radio host. We'll see. So yeah, that's gonna be most of the program today. We're gonna be sharing that awesome panel featuring moderator Jarrett Evans Samson, Jocelyn Allen, who is the translator and interpreter working with Tsuratani Sensei, and of course Tsuratani Sensei. There was a Q&A portion during the panel, and because of how I recorded the discussion, I could not capture a lot of the voices of the people who asked questions. So what I have done is gone back to re-listen to what I can and dubbed over the questions asked from the audience towards the second half of the panel. So let's dive into it. Let us listen to the wisdom and musings of Kaori Tsuratani Sensei right after this public service announcement.
This is Bird Note. Science conversations can sometimes be confusing. There are so many technical, jargony terms thrown around. Even science professionals can get overwhelmed and tune out. But the next time you hear the word habitat, perk up your ears a little. When you hear the word habitat, think of home. Sure, science can make habitat sound a lot more complicated, but basically, it's where a living thing, a bird, for example, prefers to live. It's that bird's natural home. For a jay that lives in the forest, the forest is its habitat, where it finds food, water, shelter, and the company of other jays. But a jay's habitat may also be your backyard, or the bank parking lot down the street. If you want to understand a bird's habitat, you need to look at the world from the bird's point of view. Some birds live in different habitats at different times of year. Many sandpipers summer in the Arctic tundra, where they breed. But during the rest of the year, they live on tide flats along the coasts. From their point of view, it might be a lot like going from Kansas to Oz and back over and over. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein. BirdNote gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you can get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at BirdNote Radio.
Okay, we're good to go. Thank you all for waiting. Welcome to BANCAP 2024 and our spotlight panel with Sudhatani Kaudi, right here, the author of Beale Metamorphosis. We're so pleased and thrilled to have Sudhatani Sensei here. It's an honor. Thank you all for joining us. I'm Jared Evan Sampson. I'm the festival director at BANCAP, and I am thrilled to be here and to be able to sit down and talk with them.
Thank you.
Sorry, as my intro get out of the way. But yeah, I just wanted to say thank you as well to our sponsors to help us having here and everything going on, and all the Roundhouse staff for their hard work this weekend, and thanks for joining us. So yes, yeah, Sudhatani Sensei, thank you so much for coming to our festival.
Thank you for inviting. I'm so happy to be here in Banka. And nice to meet you.
Yeah, so I will go right into it. To get it out of the way at the beginning, growing up, what led you to an interest in becoming a mangaka? Did you decide from a young age, yes, this is what I want to do, or how did you find your way?
Yeah, when I was a kid, manga was always something that was really around me, like it was very close by all the time. My family used to just buy all the manga, like as much manga as we wanted, so it was always in the house.
でも、あまりにも短すぎて、漫画家、漫画を仕事にしようと思っていたときに、会社に勤めるのはちょっと自分には難しいと思ったときに、漫画ならできそうだなと思って、そっちの道に行ったっていう感じです。
But I think manga was like almost too close to me, like it was too much a part of my life, so I never really thought about it as like a job that I could have. It just didn't occur to me. But when I was looking for a job after I was graduating university and I'm doing the usual pounding the pavement, I realized like working in an office was not really going to work for me. So I thought, oh, you know, manga though, I could make a go of manga, and so here we are.
Oh, that's amazing.
I mean, that might sound a little bit negative, but like that's just how like close and a part of my life it was.
Ah, that's, I think, very interesting. Too close and then to find, yeah. To find it again. Thank you. I also wanted to go right in, you know, we have a panel and talk about Beale Metamorphosis, your book Beale Metamorphosis. And to be not too cheesy, what was the metamorphosis of Beale Metamorphosis, and what made you decide to pursue this story?
BLが好きな人っていうのを題材にして、あの、漫画を描きたいと思ってたんですけど、編集さんから、あの、おばあさんを登場させてはどうですかっていうアイデアをいただいたので、ちょっとそれをトライしてみようって思いました。So
I had the idea of drawing some kind of manga about people who like BL, like that was something I wanted to draw. And then my editor came to me with the idea of why not have like an older lady as part of that? Like, what do you think? And so I got that idea from her and I decided to give it a try.
でも立場が違う2人を書くことでそのお互いに影響を受け合って変わっていく様子っていうのがストーリーになるんじゃないかなと思いました。
It was, they both have like these different positions, different places in their life, so these two people are sort of having an influence on each other and like growing and changing, and I wanted to make that kind of story.
It's very interesting because also until recently you hadn't drawn DL yourself. So what inspired you to base the book around the genre of DL?
なんか実は割と長い間漫画に出てくるうららというキャラクターと一緒で自分も BL を好きなこと恥ずかしいと思っていたんですけど、その恥ずかしいって思うのはなんでなのかなとよく考えたし、その恥ずかしいという感情こそ作品になるなと思いました。
But the truth is, for a long time, like Urara in the book, I was a bit ashamed of my love of BL, like a bit like, you know, embarrassed by it. And I started to wonder, like, why is that embarrassing to me? Like, why do I find that awkward? And I thought I had the idea that I might be able to make a story out of that.
So it was, you wanted to almost see through fiction why your, the interest or why people were drawn to BL?
I think like it's really fascinating to sort of consider your own position by reading these stories about people who aren't straight, like people who are, you know, in love with you know, the same sex or whatever. And reading those stories can kind of bring that distance that allows you to have like a more different approach to it. I'm not sure if I said that exactly right, but.
Oh, thank you. I put you on the spot. Thank you. Another element to touch on that obviously happens in the book is Don't Like This, another book of yours, also features an intergenerational friendship. So you mentioned it was suggested to you, but a theme in your work, was this too drawn from life and possibly the seed of BL Metamorphosis?
Ever since I was a kid, in my house, there have been a lot of adults who were not my family due to like work situations and things like that. So I kind of wanted to depict all of those different people.
So I also wanted to talk about your artwork. Your artwork is so beautiful and expressive and feels very unique from a lot of manga that we see in North America. However, you have also worked as an assistant, I know, to many other mangaka, all with their own different styles. And I'm curious on how you settled on the style to draw in now.
絵のことで言うと、白と黒のバランスを使って表現する作家さん。あとはデフォルメが 聞いていながらも人間の表情を捉えているような作品がすごく好きで、自分もそういうのを描きたいと思いました。
When it comes to my art, I am really interested in the balance between black and white and that monochrome, and also artists who depict like are really expressive with even with characters that are like little deformed, like not quite your standard character, but have like cute faces or something like that. I really wanted to draw those kinds of things as well. So if I could list like a bunch of artists that I really like, whose art especially I'm in love with, I think it'd be like Fumiko Takano, Shigeru Mizuki, Taiyo Matsumoto, Mitsuru Adachi, Rumiko Takahashi, Chiba Tetsuya, Hinako Sugiura, like so many. And then like more recently, Haruko Ichikawa and Natsujiki Miyazaki would be like some people that I'm really, really into.
So, あとは長いアシスタント期間で学んだのは、たくさんの人に読んでもらうためにはまずサービス精神が大事なんだなっていうことと、あとはその自分の表現に対して妥協しない姿勢っていうのをその先生たちから学びました。
After like working as an assistant for a really long time, I think the things that I really learned from the artists that I worked with was to really pay attention to what you're offering the audience, like make sure that you're giving what the reader what they need and paying attention to their needs, and also to be true to your own style and your own voice. I think that's really important.
Thank you, that's so interesting. And also, I understand because I like all of those artists too, so.
Yeah, easy. No, that's great.
So let's talk about the film adaptation for a second. I hope everyone who is here has had a chance to watch it, and if you haven't, you can stream it for free all weekend long, thanks to our festival sponsor, JFT, as part of our VanCap opening ceremonies. So thanks to them, and yeah, please watch the movie anytime this weekend for free. We are privileged to screen it. So how did this adaptation begin to come together? And did you have an active role in developing the film?
まず2018年に企画書を、最初の企画書をいただいて、オファーはそれよりちょっと前だったんですけど、ちょっとパンデミックのせいで制作が遅れて、2020年に最初のシナリオかな？プロットか、プロットを、もらって、で、そのプロットが割とちょっと原作とは違うものだったので、それに関してはいろいろ意見を言わせてもらって、その後はシナリオのチェックと、あとはうららが描いた漫画を私が制作しました。
I think I got they originally approached me with the kind of general project plan of the project of the movie in 2018. The originaloffer for the movie, or like sounding me out about the movie, was a little bit before that, but I got the general like plan in 2018. And then, of course, as we all know, the pandemic happened, and things kind of, the production got a little delayed because of that. So I think it was in about 2020 that I got the script, and then I got a correction that no, I just got the general plot outline. So I got the plot and kind of looked at that, and it was a bit different from my original work of Beyond Metamorphosis, the manga. So I gave some opinions on that, and then I got the script itself, and I went through and I checked that, and I again had a little bit of input there. And I also got to write the manga that Urara draws in the movie. So.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
It must have been quite surreal watching these characters you created come to life in another medium. Has having this experience taught you anything about your own work or the characters?
あんまりそうシュールっていうか感じはなくて新鮮ではあったんですけどでもそうですねなんか映画の前にちょっと挨拶をしたところでも言ったんですけど思ったより細かいところをたくさん拾っていただいてそういうところもちゃんと伝わっているんだなということがすごく嬉しかったです
It was actually surreal, in fact, for me to see the characters like that. It was more like something really fresh, like seeing them with fresh eyes, I think. I said this in the there's a little introduction to the film that's streaming now, as you mentioned. And I said this in the introduction to the film as well, but the makers of the film, they really picked up on all of these really small details that were in the manga, and I think that that comes across so well in the movie, and I was just so happy to see that.
That's amazing. Thank you. Yeah, I can't imagine how amazing it must be.
Thank you.
You had to go to back to talk about Don't Like This. You have said that your early work, Don't Like This, in part drew from your own life at times, especially the main character's interest in fishing. And so I was interested if you could talk about the appeal of fictionalizing elements of everyday life.
その人にとって一番インパクトの大きいものだと思うんですけどそれはそれを体験したことのない他人にも説得力を持って伝わるものだと思います
I think like our own personal experience obviously has like the biggest impact on us you know as people And I think that that experience can also be very powerful, like when we try to communicate it to other people and have a real impact on others as well.
なので、共感もしできなかったとしても、自分とは違う他人の圧倒的な存在っていうのを感じることができると思います。
So even if you can't necessarily relate to that experience, you can sort of feel like that there's this.Other presence in the world, like the presence of other people, and really feel that overwhelming sort of connection with people in general.
Yeah. Thank you. And to use that as a jumping off point, you have also spoken of how meaningful it was for you to discover fishing and to find different ways to sustain yourself. And the gentleness in the way that small shifts can change your life or a way of seeing the world seems to be a theme in your work as well.So what is it that interests you about the personal in art?
さっきとちょっと似ちゃうんですけど、釣りをやっているときにすごくこう景色が、なんていうんですかね。受け取るものがすごく大きいと感じて、それを絵にすると、だから人間っていうよりは背景というか景色を主人公にして、描いてみるっていうことをやってみようと思ったんですけど、そういうなんかなんていうんですか、なんか人間じゃなくて景色の方を主役にするっていうことがなんか実は人にとってなんか楽でもあるんじゃないかなと